Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's bringing all the swagoo, as they say. He is Andy Esimakis. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing okay, but I was into a wellness check on you today, to be honest.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Yeah, because I saw that Space Jam 2 was trending on Twitter.
Oh.
And my first thought was, his boner must be over for 4 hours now, so that can't be good for anybody in the household.
I do not know anything about this, so we're going to have to discuss that a little bit later.
They revealed the logo.
Oh, my.
And the billing. It's LeBron James and Bugs Bunny, top billing.
Wow, LeBron James. Yeah, that is good. I know. I mean, he's at least funny. He's done comedy before.
Sure.
He's done some movies or a movie before. Michael Jordan was terrible. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest, and that is Mike Jarrett, the chief bidet officer over at Running With Scissors, and currently he is working on Postal 4, No Regrets, out now in early access. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, and it's No Regrets.
I knew it was, and it was
spelled, you just naturally go to say it. I understand.
It will, because it's spelled correctly on our sheet, and I was like, I don't know about that. But
I think it was an auto.
Who's the producer?
I take all fault in that.
I am Ron Burgundy when it comes to the introduction of the show. I just read the
title. And I'm Kitz McGee.
I accept it, but I will correct you.
So. Indeed. It's good. That's what you're here for, I guess. For those of you that are new to the Dual Screens Podcast, this is an interview show where we bring on industry guests to tell us their story and to discuss their latest project. Everyone in the gaming industry, be it a programmer, an artist, a voice actor, it doesn't matter who they are, but they all have a story to tell. And we would like to be the platform for them to do so. The show posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean. And also, you can find everything on youtube.com/dualscreenstv and, of course, dualscreens.com. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and a subscription. And if you're listening on iTunes, please consider giving us, or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it these days, please consider giving us a review. And I have news, Andy. I don't know if I told you this yet, but Podcast Addict, the app that I use on my Android phone, now does their own reviews. So they have their own little section for reviews. And I know it's a very popular app. So maybe, listener, if you're one of those users, get in there, do a review, tell us how amazing we are or terrible. Either way, we take all the criticisms to heart, and we have therapy because of it. Anyway, Mike, welcome to the show, man. It's a pleasure hanging out with you. How you been?
I'm great. I'm at home, as it were.
Yeah.
I don't sit at home that often. Our office, my office to be specific, it's really just my office. The Running With Scissors team is a remote team. We're all over the world. Everybody works at home for the most part. And aside from Vince and myself, there's only one other employee in town, and he works at home anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of a cool thing about some of the indie scene, is that the development of their projects don't seem to be taking as much of a hit as the AAA spaces, but at the same time, the lack of conventions and places to show the game seem to be like the common thread here. Have you guys been also feeling that?
Well, it's not like we've been feeling it quite yet. I mean, we went to PAX. We had a booth at PAX at the extreme tail end of the normal time frame of the world. It was actually, we were not sure it was going to happen, and leading up to it, we were pretty sure they were going to cancel it, and they didn't. And we went kind of nervously expecting there to be like no crowd, and it was fucking packed. And I gotta tell you, like, I am a pretty cautious person, and this was when it was on the uprise, but it was pretty, like, you don't realize how gross everything is until you have to like see it in person. And, you know, everybody's touching the controllers, everybody's touching the computer, and I'm like constantly wiping everything down, trying to help, but you're shaking hands, you're hugging fans. I mean, it's like, there's so much touching involved that there's nothing you can do about it. And it's, I think this is going to have a profound long-term effect on, I mean, not just game industry stuff, but everything. I mean, you know, this is going to change the way people do a lot of things. Forever.
Do you guys have internal like conversations about what you're going to need to do going forward for this, or is it just going to be kind of a moment by moment? You just kind of have to play it by ear.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, historically, we're not these like big expo people. I mean, back in the day, I used to always go to CPL and have a booth just to show the Postal 2 multiplayer. And, you know, we went to E3 every year and we went to GDC, but we've never been people that actually do stuff. And we haven't really been doing the expo scene for years. And this was new, and it went so well that it does kind of suck thinking about it. And PAX West is still on tap. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I want to be there and I really want to do what we did in Boston, but maybe do it up a little bigger. I mean, the game will be a further in development. There's still a lot of people that don't know who the fuck we are. So like, I would love to be at PAX West. I can't commit to it right now. And yeah, this is everything. I mean, Gamescom's not happening.
Yeah.
E3's not going to ever happen again, probably. And all those indie devs that paid their money for GDC that probably got fucked out of flight money and hotel money and God knows what else. There was a huge loss there. So
are you guessing on the whole no E3, or do you have like, I don't want to say like, do you have information, but like, are there conversations with devs going around?
No.
It's kind of like writing on the wall kind of situation.
I would say that Running with Scissors is so far removed from the rest of the developer scene and the industry in general. I mean, we only went to E3 within the last 5 years to try to talk to publishers and stuff. But clearly the show itself has been on a steady and rapid decline ever since they moved it away from the convention center one time. I don't know if you guys remember when it was in Santa Monica. And that was a year that we had a booth. That was the only time we've ever had a booth at E3 since Postal 1 came out. And our booth was like the same size as EA's. And then it moved back to the convention center. And I don't know. It's just been a weird, morphing, odd consumer/business show. But none of the business people go into the convention hall anymore. They all sit at the Marriott. And I don't know. After they doxed a bunch of people last year, I really don't.
Oh, geez,
I really don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, if I had to guess, it's going to be a tough call next year because they were. I think they were on their way out. Like, I don't know what was going to happen this year. There was no big people there. So.
Yeah,
just blame the virus. That's what killed it. We were doing fine before then, guys. We were just doing great. Oh,
course,
damn that corona.
Added in. E3 was a victim.
Will you remember me?
E3. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but we got almost got arrested at E3 in 2003 because we were not expoing. We were just there as industry people. And we had Gary Coleman with us for Postal 2, and we were like walking around the show floor and just stopping for him to sign autographs, which would block walkways, and we were doing this endlessly for the entire first day. And the second day we showed up, and the second we walked into the show floor, like, security bombarded us and basically told us like, hey, you got away with it one day, but you're not showcasing here and you're taking up too much space, so we're going to follow you guys around. And if he stops to sign autographs, we are going to throw you out. And if you try to come back in, we'll call the cops. So we had to, I don't want to say beg, but I had a lot of friends at NVIDIA at the time. And I kind of pled to them about our problems. And so they kind of gave us this corner right in the middle of their booth. And so Gary Coleman was signing autographs at the NVIDIA booth for most of the show. It was pretty cool.
I wonder
that
what
sounds like a dare. They dared you to come back at that point.
Right. Well, you know, it's if we lived in LA and we weren't paying Gary by the day, it would have been like, okay, you know, this is a good story. But, you know, tiny devs like us can't spare the funds just for a cool we got arrested story. I mean, maybe we can, but we didn't. So
imagine that security meeting. They're like, all right, guys, listen up. Follow the bunch of white dudes with the, you know, Gary Coleman. What?
With the small guy.
Yeah, look for tiny Gary Coleman.
and make sure they don't stop moving ever.
But that just sounds like a troll though. Like, seriously, Gary Coleman's here. I don't buy it. And he's
E3?
A threat.
Signing autographs in 2004.
We did it again. We did it again the next year, and actually the booth babes we hired One, I mean, in her photo, it was just her on the Playboy Bunny lawn. We didn't know who she was, and she was actually an alternate. A girl wasn't showing up, and we had to pick a new one. And I picked a girl on the Playboy Mansion lawn. She shows up, and we meet her, and she's telling us, like, oh, I'm one of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends, and he just fired a bunch of his girlfriends. There's only three of us left, and I mean, nobody knew who these people were at the time. But then the show came out like 6 months later, and this was, it was Bridget. It was Hugh Hefner's, I don't know, wife or girlfriend or whatever. And she was one of our postal babes, just randomly at E3 one year.
That's hilarious.
Wow. One of the harem.
A true story. I did take her. We like what we would do at the end of the show. We would get our money's worth with our booth babes, and we would take them to an area and take photos with them, and then actually put like, you know, postal babe photos on the website. And I did get Bridget's shirt off for photos. So,
ooh.
My mind went to a totally different place. By the way,
you went to No. I'm not gonna sit here and talk about my sexual endeavors with booth babes. But I did get Bridget Marquardt's top off for some photos. So.
Whatever's in the budget. That's, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we don't pay Valley porn fees. So.
It's just crazy how the world is going to be kind of evolving now, or devolving, or I don't know how you want to look at it. But what have you been doing lately? Have you been playing any games? Have you been trying to like?
So me, the guy from the game industry that's been in it for nearly 20 years, I actually don't play a lot of games anymore. Like, I was a huge gamer back in the day. I failed out of the University of Arizona because I was such a Counter-Strike addict back in 99. I mean, I've always been a pretty big gamer. I played a lot of different things, but it was always very specific for long periods of time. And I'd say the last 10 years, maybe a little more, I've been very, I only play Grand Theft Auto games, and I wouldn't say like addictively, like I can tell you, I actually finished GTA 5 yesterday.
Oh, nice.
It's the third console I bought the game and installed it on, and I got through. I got halfway through on the first two and just stopped. And finally, I'm like, okay, I'm sitting around a lot. My wife's home, but she's in school, so she's busy. So what am I going to do? And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to really start playing games again. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to finish Red Dead. I did play Red Dead about halfway through when it came out. And I finished that, and now I finished GTA 5. And I'm actually a little annoyed I didn't finish that 7 years ago. That is quite an experience. It is. I feel like I did something that I should have done a long time ago, and that everybody else has done. So,
did you start from scratch every single time? When you? Oh God.
Yeah, I bought it. So I bought it on PS3 on the day it came out, and then when it came out for PS4, I rebought it again, and I was like, you know what? I could use this experience again. It is a really good game. And then I just stopped, like right around the same place, oddly enough, that I did on the PS3. And so it's. My PS4 is actually sitting in the corner of my living room, like not hooked up. I had lent it to a friend, and I got an Xbox One X when Red Dead came out because I wanted the full 4K experience. And that one was supposedly the better version versus the PS4 Pro or Plus, whatever it is. And so I bought, you know, I got this Xbox One X that's hooked up, and I'm like, you know what? I'm too lazy to go hook up my PS4. I might as well just play this. And as it turns out, I didn't have to buy it. I did get a month of Game Pass, so I'm using Game Pass to play it. So I reinstalled it. And actually, I was talking to my partner in the UK. He's my dev director, John. And I was like, maybe I should hook up my PS4. I really don't feel like laying in 10 hours before I get back to where I was. And he's like, you know what? That's one of those games that, like, I mean, I wouldn't say we, like, overly draw a lot of inspiration from it. But it's one of those games for us that we need to play just to kind of reset our minds to what is the fucking pinnacle of feature creep, crazy game development. I mean, it is unfair. Like I hate ever comparing anything we do to that, but you do play it and you go, well, we're clearly not going to hit this level, but you know, we should do this and we should do this. And you know, they are the feature creep devs. I mean, they spend $350 million making that game.
Jesus.
And it really does show, well, it doesn't matter. It's just on unit sales alone, it's made $6 billion. GTA 5 alone, okay? It's the largest piece of gaming media. Not gaming media. It's the largest piece of media in history. And the next largest, I don't know if you know this, it happens to be Avatar. and Avatar made something like $2.5 billion. So GTA 5 is more than double the next closest piece of highest grossing media ever.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm not a huge GTA person, but
I'm not saying you need to be. I mean, it's just it's one of those cultural phenomenons. Yeah. And I have a lot of negative things to say too. Like, as a game developer that fucking puts so much effort into our old shit still to this day, it really bugs me that a game that has grossed $6 billion has zero single player add-ons to it. I mean, that is almost fucking insulting. I mean, GTA 3 and 4 have multiple single player add-ons. And not that those are high grossing for them, because clearly they're not, the online is, but you know, it is a single player game that happens to have a multiplayer element.
Well, they kind of ran away with that. They kind of did the, oh no, GTA Online's its own thing now. And it's like, it's kind of its own universe. It's crazy.
And I get that. And that's cool. And I'm glad that they're just ripping people off left and right. But I would gladly give them another $40 to play a single player add-on in GTA 5. Like, that would be amazing. Even Red Dead, like, I would love to play another game in Red Dead, but it's just not going to happen. They're just so ingrained in this online universe, which I'm not I don't know what to call it, but I'm not into really online games at all anymore. Yeah. I don't play MMOs. I don't play Counter-Strike anymore. I don't do any of that. I just want to play the single player experience. And it's, like I said, it is an amazing game. It is something to play for us, especially because, you know, we make an open world shooter and obviously we are not them, but we are sort of offshoots, even though Postal 1 came out first. But it's some insulting shit, I think. As a gamer, they do some very insulting things to people. So
we can never know. You guys did release DLC 11 years later for Postal 2 after all, so they may follow your footsteps at some point.
I would be fucking blown away, except for the fact that they're musing about GTA 6 now, which is supposed to be like a much smaller scope game, which doesn't surprise me in the least, because they'll release some tiny single player game and then just mow it down with an online thing so they can sell shark cards and all that shit. So, I mean, yeah, I don't need to overly get into my annoyance, but you asked me if I'm playing games right now, and that happened to be one that I played and I loved, and it pisses me off at the same time.
So. Well, that's what we're here for.
In case you didn't know, I'm a Jewish New Yorker, so I like to bitch about things, and I'm bitching about GTA 5 right now.
Speaking of the Jewish thing, what's it like being everybody's favorite Jew?
Dude, I don't know if you saw this. I posted this a while. Actually, I didn't post it on our company social media, I don't think. I posted it on my Facebook, but this fan approached me maybe about a year ago, and he's like, hey, I don't know if you should see this, but I found you on this forum and it's really not good. And you know, I just feel like you should know about it. And he sends me this link to, it's not Stormfront, it's some white supremacists forum.
Oh, good.
And the post, and mind you, this is from 2012, so it's not like it was recent, but it was a post that basically said, here are the game industry billionaires who are here are the game industry Jewish billionaires who are poisoning the white youth with their video games. And the list was like all of these game industry executives, like fucking literal billionaires, and me. I'm like, okay, I get it. Wayne Gretzky's brother is part of a duo that scored more points than any other brother duo in history. But Keith Gretzky, I think, scored like 3 goals. Okay. So I guess I'm part of this billionaire club that here are the people, the Jewish executives that make billions off of the backs of white children. I don't know. I'll send it to you if you're really interested in seeing
it. Yeah, please send that over. That sounds like
some
wild
extreme hate. And, you know, I saw this, and at first it made me laugh. And, you know, you kind of read the little paragraph about me, and I'm like, what the fuck am I even doing there? Like, I'm this fucking jerk-off in Tucson that makes this small game that, you know, we're happy we sold a couple million units of our 17-year-old product at this point. Like, We're not making billions of
dollars. You should sue for libel. I am not a billionaire, sir. Yeah, I'm offended by that.
I will sue him for $1 billion.
I'm eating ramen soup every day.
We will get there.
And so you know, I sent this to my parents going like, and you know, they did not take it particularly well. They were like, do you think you should call the FBI? And it's like, well, it's 7 years old at this point. So if they were going to kill me, I'd probably already be dead. I really doubt they're long conning this. But I am very loudly a Jew, I am very Jew-ish, meaning mostly ish. Like, I'm not religious. I don't do a whole lot of religious stuff, and I don't really care much for religion. But I am a Jew. I'm a Jew by birth, so.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. Just try and stay off the white supremacist most wanted list.
No, you know, my God, really?
Right.
I mean, thank you for putting me next to these guys, I guess. Like, it's... Like, I don't mind being next. I mean, these are some big motherfuckers. Like, I can't even name any off the top of my head, but big industry guys that you would know their names, and you're like, oh, and Mike J. Like, what the fuck?
So on that note, Mike, how is postal for poisoning us Gentiles, Stephen and Andy,
that
on this
is,
podcast
well,
right
it
now?
Is, it is. You know what? I met up with my fellow Jews. And we just decided we were going to sell billions of this. And we put subliminal messages all throughout the game that only Gentile scum can see. And as it turns out, it works. We have no Jewish fans. It's weird. So.
I wonder.
You know, there's nothing subtle about Postal 4. I got news for you. Mm-mm. There's nothing subliminal or subtle at all. Tell our listeners, Postal 4, what do we got? What are we working with here? What's the 411?
So do you want me to start with like a basic what Postal is?
Or sure.
Or do you want me to assume that everybody's listening knows
what Postal is? Assume no, everybody's an idiot.
All right. So Postal, the first game came out in 1997. It was basically a cultural phenomenon because politicians made it into a bigger deal than it was. It was the first game where you could like kill innocent people for no reason, as opposed to games where you shot like aliens and space marines and things like that. And so it got this like huge name drop by the Senate, Joe Lieberman and a bunch of different people. So, you know, we've kind of carried that burden for a long time as the industry bad boy, even though we don't make like by far the worst game out there, and we also don't sell the units to be to be that controlling, I guess. Like, we're kind of a fringe indie cult classic, and you know, we released Postal 2 in 2003. That's kind of been our bread and butter for the last 17 years. I mean, it did okay when it came out. It did really well in Russia. We were, I don't want to say the word famous. We were like C-list famous in Russia for a while. We used to go there all the time and sign autographs at trade shows.
What do you think the reason
away
for that was?
I don't know. I mean, sold millions of units in Russia. It's other than Germany, it's like one of our top countries by far. And
weird.
So that country actually carried us into what would be a huge black mark on the franchise. But Postal 3 was a piece of shit. Garbage virus that I like to call AIDS for your Steam account that came out in 2011.
Can you explain why that was so bad? Like, I don't know the story here.
Yeah, it's not a big story. It's just long and annoying. But the gist of it is the company that was working on it, Akella, they were our partners. They sold a lot of copies of Postal 2. They made a really, really shitty add-on to Postal 2 that's called Corkscrew Rules. If you're curious, go watch Civ11's video of it on YouTube. It's a pretty fucking wacko game, and it wasn't very good. But we decided that it would be a great idea to let them make Postal 3 in-house because they were funding it. And they actually had a really good squad of developers there. They're a big company. And they had all these really high-end employees. They're working on the game. And I'm not sure you remember when the economy tanked in 2008, if you remember that.
Yeah.
The Russian economy took a much bigger nosedive than most because their economy is totally propped up on oil.
Yeah.
And the game industry was one of the hardest hit because Russia notoriously has one of the worst piracy problems in the world. And I don't mean like everybody's downloading games. I mean like where there's a game store, there is a pirate game store next door. So everybody that wants to buy a game has to choose whether they want to buy it from, you know, GameStop or Stop Games right next door, right? So the way that they fight this in Russia is they just don't charge a whole lot of money for games.
Right.
Like you can buy the actual copy of whatever for $4, and next door you can buy the pirate copy of it for $3.
That's
so when the right. So when the economy tanked, the people that used to buy games from the GameStop stopped buying games from GameStop. Like the actual industry just took a major fucking nosedive, and the industries that were paying well were the banking industries. And so like all these computer people just left the industry. And what started out as this really, really high quality team very quickly became whoever the fuck they had that could fill a slot, you know, the B squad. And this kind of happened multiple times over the course of, I don't know, we announced the game in like 06. 05, and it came out in 2011. I mean, the game went through multiple phases, multiple complete work stoppages. Like nobody on our squad wanted this to come out. We wanted it to be vapor. We wanted the project to be canceled, but we weren't the ones that had sunk a couple million dollars into it.
Right.
And eventually, after a long, long hiatus, they put this together a team of, I mean, they were good guys, but we'll call them like the Suicide Squad. They came in and I don't know, I guess it's kind of like what Gearbox did with Duke Nukem Forever. They kind of just pieced it together and released this fucked steaming pile of shit. And I mean, it didn't even out of the gate, it didn't even work. And they only kept the employees on long enough to fix like level one GameStopper bugs that were happening out of the gate, and then they fired everybody. Like this was as the company was like crashing down. And so they fixed it to the extent of it doesn't crash in the opening cinematic. And with that, the team just, they were called Trash Masters. They were an in-house development team, and they were all fired, and the game was never finished. And it's up on Steam to this day. We have been shitting on it since 2011. We've officially condemned it. We don't recommend you buy it. I mean, we have no control over it on Steam either. If it were up to us, we would probably just have it removed from Steam because it's that fucking bad. And in defense of our amazing community, we have come out stronger than ever because of it. I mean, not just because of Postal 3. I mean, we did tell everybody honestly, like, this game sucks, don't buy it. But 2012, we tried to get Postal 2 on Steam. Mind you, we had been trying to do it for a long time, and they just wouldn't let us do it. They allowed Postal 3 on Steam because we were using Source Engine, and since they control Source, they allowed us to be on Steam. And even though that was a dive bomb crash crap, we put Postal 2 up on Project Greenlight they had for Steam, which allowed the community to vote for what they wanted. And Postal 2 actually got yanked down from the Greenlight community like almost immediately.
Whoa.
And we had to contact them, and we thought they were like just gonna say fuck you, but they were like, oh no, we're sorry, we thought this was just like fans posting this. And so they put it back up. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So they put it back up, and it was like unanimously voted through on the first round of voting. So we were like, oh cool, like maybe this will help salvage the company. And like we could not believe the response we got on Steam. I mean, it was like a fucking miracle to bring this product back from the dead. I mean, there was a lot we wanted to do with Postal 2. We didn't really have the dev funds to do it. and putting the game on Steam, like, gave us all these dev funds, and we made all these promises to people in our green light that we would fix this, that, and the other thing. We would implement Steamworks. We would eventually do something if there was a lot of units sold, and eventually there was a lot of units sold. So we did all those things and started putting our team back together. And eventually we worked on a full add-on for Postal 2 that came out in 2015 called Paradise Lost, which, mm-hmm. you know, I guess there's a couple other companies that have been doing add-ons for old ass games, but that was a really, really big deal for us. And it allowed us to retcon Postal 3 out of the, universe. And it, at one time, it was one of the highest rated pieces of DLC on Steam. So it was pretty cool that it did a lot of things. It rejuvenated the company. It let us put a dev team back together of strictly Postal fans. I mean, these were all modders that we brought in house. And then, by the way, I am peeing now, guys. So.
All right.
Yes, please.
You did get that.
Very appropriate. Yeah.
Right. We had this new team together. And after that, we decided, you know what? We should remake Postal 1. And you know what? Sometimes you make a mistake. Like,
sure.
While we are known for Postal 1 because that was our first game, that is not the game people like that we made. And while Postal Redux has good reviews on Steam, it never sold well at all. Tactical error. Good learning curve for my team to start using Unreal 4. Then we sank a year and a half into working on some VR title that is unnamed and sitting on the shelf here right now. It's not a Postal title. It's something completely, it's on brand, but it's not what you would expect. And we sunk too much money into it. We had to kind of call it quits because there's only so much money you can make with VR. And now we are with Postal 4.
I mean,
right. I mean, that's kind of where that went. Like, we were working on this project and then we were like, you know what? We didn't start with Postal 4. We realized that Postal 1 was the wrong game to remake. So we decided we wanted to remake Postal 2 because that was actually the request we got most. Why did you remake Postal 1? You should have remade Postal 2. When is Postal 2 going to be on consoles? Blah, 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 endlessly. So we're like, okay, let's actually do an Unreal 4 version of Postal 2. And we called it Postal 2x2, and we got a few months into it, and we were like, you know what? This is way too much fucking labor to just be a remake of Postal 2. Let's just make Postal 4. So we started work on Postal 4, and then eventually we got to a point where it was like, you know what? We need much more wide-scale testing, and we need to raise funds. And early access was a huge gamble. I mean, huge gamble. I mean, you are putting your brand's value on the line with sort of crowdfunding kinds of things, especially ones where they can play it. And most gamers don't like janky alpha shit. They claim they want to see it and they want to play it, and then they get to play it and they're like, what the fuck did I just spend money on?
Right.
We were pretty nervous. I don't know if you guys played it when it first came out. It was fucking janky. Right out of the gate, we had a 91% on Steam, and it was like, I guess we have some pretty good will.
Wow.
Well, listen, if your brand can survive Postal 3, I think
you're totally fine. You're not wrong. But at the same time, like, we know our fans on Steam are ridiculously diehard because Postal 2 has a 95% on Steam, which there's just not a lot of games that are not made by Valve that have an overwhelmingly positive score on Steam. It's just there's less than 200 of them, and Postal 2 happens to be one of those titles, which is like, it's crazy for me to think, because like, I know what Postal 2 is. Like, yes, it's a cool game, yes, we've been around for a long time, yes, we jerk our fans off all the time, but like, Postal 2 is not a fucking A game, right? It's clearly like a 75% with a bump because we're good dudes.
Yeah, but you made a fun game. Like, that's the thing. Like, you don't need to make a masterpiece to catch the zeitgeist of like a fun game.
No, you're not wrong. But yeah. I don't know if you know this. Postal 2 was given a Guinness Award back in 2004,
what?
Or maybe 2005.
Oh yeah.
Well, I applied for it because I was like, you know what? Yeah, I was like, you know what? This is true. Like, we should just tell Guinness. I applied for the most critically divisive video game ever because on game rankings, there was a 0 and there was 100. Like, wow. Game rankings, I don't think exists anymore, but there was an actual approved reviewer that gave us a 100 and Computer Gaming World gave us a 0, which to this day, we use a bunch of quotes from that product on our various boxes because he basically said our game was only better than boxed syphilis. And I'll tell you the exact quote. The exact quote was, until they packaged Syphilis Postal 2 as the worst product ever foisted upon the consumer. So, like,
that's gold. That's absolute gold right there.
Yeah, you essentially print money with that quote.
Hello. Yep. Sorry, I got a phone call. So that was Vince calling me, actually. Hold on. Hey, podcast.
Well, you know, here we are with Postal 4. You know, you're obviously trying to scrub the memory of Postal 3. You're also trying to kind of pay homage to your past and all that stuff. So set the table for Postal 4. Yeah. What are fans going to what can fans expect?
That's what we're talking about. I'm not just jerking myself off here for the last 20 minutes. Postal 4. So
are you though? Because you peed before, so I'm not too. You might be.
I jerk off before I leave for the office in the morning.
Gotcha.
So yeah. Basically, Postal 4 is our own internal spiritual successor to Postal 2. I mean, yes, Paradise Lost came out. We retconned Postal 3, but like, Postal 2 is definitely a gaming phenomenon, and like, there just aren't a lot of games like it at all. I mean, yes, we get compared to things like GTA and Saints Row and other shooters, but like, there just isn't games like Postal 2 at all. And even we didn't have another game like Postal 2 because Postal 3 was like, I don't know, like someone tried to draw Postal 2 from memory or something. It's like
a
so
bad
cool.
cover band, Postal 3.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
That's a good way to put it. so, you know, our goal was, look, we are an indie. We have a small budget. Our team is made up of almost at this point, actually, it's exclusively Postal 2 fanatics. Everybody on the team came from the fan community, was a modder, and that, like, it goes, it takes the product to another level. It doesn't mean it's going to be the best game ever, but it means that everybody's working on their favorite game. So, like, it allows us to take what they're all there for, which was Postal 2, and kind of just bring that to a new engine, I guess you could say. You know, Postal 2's engine is, like, hot fucking garbage. It wasn't even Unreal 2. It was this, like, garbled mess of an interim build before Unreal 2's engine came out. And while all these other classic games are coming out for Switch and everything, we can't even do that. Like, the engine is so fucked, and the physics engine within, they're out of business, and we don't have the source code, and there's like some major crashes within it that we just can't fix. So like, there is no chance of us getting Postal 2 on consoles, which would be a fucking dream because Postal's never been on console.
Yeah, that would be like a boon.
Right, and we were on the way with Postal Redux. Like, it was approved for PlayStation. It somehow lost approval by Microsoft. Don't ask me why. But it didn't sell well enough for us to spend another dollar on it. So that doesn't mean it's not happening and someone else might do it at a different time,
right?
But we're not going to do it. So, but like, there was a lot of reasons to start on 2x2 versus 4. And one of them was, we want this thing to be on console. I mean, really, like, the game's never been on console. And I guess getting back to what I was saying, our goal with Postal 4 was not to make some revolutionary new game type that would just fucking rock everyone's minds. It was take what was so special about Postal 2 and just make it look a little better and run on a newer engine, right? I mean, that's kind of the goal from the beginning, and make everybody laugh and hopefully don't go too crazy and, you know, have people boycotting you and shit. Like, we don't really need that. Like, we want to laugh at what we do, but we're not like trying to single anybody out, really.
I would say now, even in early access and even all the jankiness involved, it feels better than Postal 2 to me.
Yeah,
and you guys are on point with you got the Joe Exotic jokes in there, Trump quotes. It's all very topical. And it's all very great.
So that's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, right. I love it. It's been my, these are like my topical wet dreams going into early access. Like, that's kind of like where we can go because of it. But I have gotten some fan comments that like, come on, man, this shit's not going to be funny in a few years. And I'm like, okay, well, hanging chads aren't particularly funny anymore either. And Postal 2 has them. Like, no, we don't need the game overloaded with, you know, shit like that that's not gonna last forever. But a fucking poster of Vince Erotic, like, that's hilarious. And if we decide we don't like it, it's very easy to take out. It's not like some game mechanic that we spent months on and it's only topical now, right? So, you know, right, South Park, who, nobody is South Park. Those guys are the most topical humans on earth.
But who wants a timeless postal game? You play it for the gore and pissing on shit and just having a good time. Now, these jokes they haven't aged well at all.
No, and that's what's funny to me is, like, the pissing stuff. So there are clearly not a ton of brand new customers yet. There are a lot, but I wouldn't say a ton. Like, most people that will spend money on early access titles are fans, right? But I do get people that are just, like, really almost wigged out, like, what is this pissing? And it kind of made me think about, like, no other games really have done that. I mean, there are games that you can pee in, but it's not like I don't want to say weapon, because it's not really a weapon, but it's a, you know, it's definitely a central feature of Postal. And, you know, nobody's really gone toe-to ball to copy that. And I like that, which allowed us to make even more pissing jokes in Postal 4. I don't know if you've seen that we have the fire hose piss when you take vitamin X. I mean, and you know what's funny? That that feature came from a bug fix. Originally, when we shipped the janky early game, the piss was breaking glass.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't even know that. Like, it wasn't something I had actually tried. And one of our patches went out, and it's one of the patch notes was piss will now not break glass. And we got fucking roasted on the Steam forums for that. People were like, oh my fucking God, put it back, you fucking asshole. So it was like, okay, well, we kind of had this like auxiliary piss function planned for vitamin X. And it was like, okay, we need to get that in now. So we just, you know, we made the piss like super strong, and we made it knock people over, and it breaks glass. So it was like this awesome, and we've actually had that happen a couple times where you fix a bug and people are like, are you fucking crazy? Like, that was awesome. So early access actually has its uses, and part of our goal with early access was to be as engaged with the community as possible, because, you know, like I said, early access is a coin flip. Like, plenty of people have gotten fucked by putting their money into something on early access that's endlessly in early access, and it never ever gets finished, or it takes 5 years. And even when it's done, it's a piece of crap. So we were very sensitive to that in advance. And like I said, like, we were nervous. Like, our fans are great, but asking someone to even give you $20 in the age of Steam sales, you have to be able to give them something they want. And clearly we did, because we've done pretty fucking well, and it's still going. Like, it's just gone. It's gone really, really well.
I love how there's a chart that has Death Stranding, the most pretentious game of all time, with its peeing, and now we can add Postal in that same category.
Oh, please. The fucking Twitter.
You guys share.
They started a fucking Twitter, can you pee? And the first game was Death Stranding. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
we were here first.
Well, no, let's be fair. The first game with pissing was Conker's Bad for
Yes, this is true.
All right, so but it wasn't like a central feature. It was like one little thing you do in a certain part. We really did take it to the next level. And we don't need to be called innovators, but, like, come on, man. Death Stranding came out fucking 15 years after Postal 2.
Well, we have we only got one question from our mailbag here on Discord, but
asks, fucking loved. Jesus.
How many times can you go postal?
Well, if you're good enough at getting away, you can do it as many times as you want. We've been wondering that same thing now for 96, so 24 years.
Jeez, 24 years. Holy crap.
Yeah, Postal 1, well, Postal 1 came out in 97, but it was announced in 96. Postal 2 turned 17 like a week and a half ago.
Oh, yeah, released that NC-17 edition.
Well, we have done little things like that. I don't know if you saw that. When was this? This had to be 7 years ago or 6 years ago. There was a random store in the mall in Postal 2 that was not open. You know, we didn't have all the stores open because, you know, we're a terrible developer and we can't work that much. But one of the stores had a little sign on it that says, we'll open in June of, I don't know, 2014 or something like that. It just said that when we developed the game, like someone just wrote that. And obviously we were still working on the game at that point. So we actually updated the game, opened the store, and we put like a little VR kit inside of it. And that was, you know, it's a nothing update, but you know, that's the kind of shit that we do. Like obviously when 3 million people buy your very old game on Steam and give you that good of reviews, you know, you got to kind of give back. And that's why we continue to update Postal 2 and Paradise Lost. I mean, we're mostly focused on Postal 4 now, and that's taking up all of our time. It is a massive undertaking for a team like ours. So anybody listening that's like, why haven't you fucking fixed this bug in Postal 2? It's like, well, we will. Just please. We are burning a lot of cash making Postal 4 because we really want to bring this to you sometime early next year. And for fuck's sake, please, on consoles, because I still, every day, we have a little communication box on our website, like, so you talk to the developers, and every day it's, when is this coming to PS4? When is this coming to Xbox? We make this on Switch every day, multiple times. And I'm like, yeah.
We hear you. Sure. Thank you.
Sure.
Got it.
Nobody wants to be on console more than me.
All right. Well, speaking of asking questions to developers, Andy, we're getting to the nitty gritty here.
Oh man, this is a good one. I want to go longer.
I know.
I have so many things I want to ask.
Well, go ahead. Ask one more.
I want to ask one last thing just to get your thoughts on this, Mike. What was it like getting sued by the USPS?
Well, I can't speak to it. I can't speak to it too heavily because I wasn't with Running with Scissors when the lawsuit started. But I was here.
But there throughout, I imagine.
I was there when the lawsuit ended. Okay. So I know for a fact when Vince got the letter from the Postmaster General, he blew it up and he put it on the wall at the office because, like, thank you, you fucking idiot. If you've never heard of the Streisand effect,
exactly.
Fucking helped us, right? So, like, it was great. I mean, unfortunately, getting sued means you also have to spend money.
Right.
And there's, you know, if you think about the lawsuit itself, like, okay, the post office never trademarked the word postal in the games industry. Like, no fucking shit. I mean, unless they made a game about the postal service, why would they do that? Okay. So we trademarked the word in the game industry and they had a huge problem with it. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Postal workers are not more likely to commit violence than anybody else. And it's like, yeah, but like, it's a word in the human lexicon and we didn't start it. We just made a game about it. And, you just made it worse, dog. So, you know, it took, I want to say we won that case in 2005. So it took something around 8 years, 8 or 9 years to win that case with prejudice. So they can't come back at us either. And so it is a good historical thing that happened. The other one that's pretty cool is when the game industry was sued by a gun running motherfucker, Leland Yee, out of California. He was he had that case. It was like Leland Yee versus the state of California, which was to require IDs for M-rated games. The case eventually made it up to the Supreme Court. But the case itself ended up being, it was the ESA versus Leland Yee. So the entertainment, or you know, the software agency that runs E3, they were the ones that were handling the case. And Exhibit A in the case was Postal 2. Like, of all games in the industry, in the history of the industry, like, at the time, I mean, I guess there wasn't, like, a whole shitload like there is now of, you know, massive violent games. But back then, like, GTA 3 was a big fucking deal. And for whatever reason, Postal 2 was Exhibit A in the ESA's case against Leland Yee, which, for us, we're like, all right, cool. Like, talk about us at the Supreme Court. But then it got even crazier. Like, when you actually look at the reports from the case, two of the Supreme Court justices had to play Postal 2 to make their decision. And I mean, the decision was like near unanimous. I think it was like 8-1 or something, like 7-2 in favor of the game industry. But, you know, it's pretty cool that a couple Supreme Court justices played Postal 2. And we did obviously put a package together of shirts and signs, and we sent it to the Supreme Court office. Like, obviously we never heard back, and odds are it all ended up in a trash can or a fucking fireplace. But we did send them some postal swag.
That's awesome.
They probably just took a piss on it, knowing them.
You know what? If they did, I would love to know.
Probably, maybe they had grandkids or something. I don't know. They're all old people, right? Anyway, it is time to get into rapid fire questions. But before we do, let's tell you a little bit about what we got going on at Dual Screens. Don't forget to check out our show that we stream every single Sunday night called the Dual Screens Gamescast. That's on twitch.tv/DualScreensStreams. And that post, once it's recorded, the audio and the video will post on podcast services on Monday mornings. We also have our brand new seasonal content. We started Dual Screens Versus. It's a little game show where Andy and I argue about various topics, and we have guest moderators come in and give us points arbitrarily, and it's a lot of fun. And that goes up every other Friday. We also have some list videos going up on our YouTube channel every Saturday. And alternating the Fridays with the Dual Screens Versus is First Plays, where we play video games for the first time and kind of just play the first level, or maybe it's a tutorial or whatever. Just play for a little while, 15 minutes to like a half an hour of a game. And we put that up there for your pleasure. It's kind of like a little sneak peek at games, or just, you know, maybe a game you never heard of, whatever. So go to youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And don't forget, if you want to support us on Patreon, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton, the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So please, head over there if you got a dollar, and that $1 is going to get you in our VIP Discord. It's going to get you a bonus episode every month, and you could vote on the topic for that bonus episode. So we do love you, and we do appreciate everything that you do for us. Now, rapid fire questions. It's very simple. We're going to ask you questions, and you're going to tell us answers. Andy?
Wait, what do I do?
You are the answering part.
I'm fucking with you. Come on.
Are the answering part.
I'm ready.
It's the simplest.
He's so ready. Right. Let's do that.
Andy, start us off.
All right. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Fuck no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oh, no, sorry, no.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Hey, look, listen.
I love both.
We will take both. Fuck no as the right answer. Stevens?
I love both, but I don't like them together.
Mm-hmm.
Would
Does
you...
that end the questions? You're like, fuck this guy now.
No. You're a great guy. We love you. Go on.
Thank you.
Would you rather get a root canal, no anesthesia, or a catheter while awake?
Well, I had a cystoscopy a week ago, so the answer is catheter. That's a camera down your urethra for those who
Fuck
don't.
That noise.
And that was my second one.
Oh.
I told you I had a pissing problem.
Oh, and, man. I don't like that.
Post story to that, I have to go get what's called UroLift later, where they basically stent your prostate. So yeah, there you go.
What
too much,
is happening
too much
in
information.
Your body?
I know.
There are too many
up.
Things.
And I'm only
once.
Fucking 38.
Oh my God. Oh, there's boy. Something happening down there.
Yeah, I pee a lot.
It's scary. Andy?
What was it like?
Subject.
Yeah, sure. to a more pleasant memory, what was it like meeting Kevin Smith?
That was crazy because I was such a big fucking Kevin Smith fan I still am, but like I was the person always reading like View Askew fan sites and just always seeing his movies first all the time, posters on the fucking wall. Here's how meeting him went down. I needed to ask him to play himself in Postal 4 and be the guy signing autographs at the fucking mall. And the conversation went so different than I expected it to, that I didn't have a chance to ask. Like, I went up to him like, here's a Running with Scissors hockey jersey. Oh, holy fuck, I love you. And he looks at the jersey and he goes, oh, Postal, I know that. The movie, Uwe Boll, blah, blah. And like, so me going there to jerk him off became him talking to me for 45 minutes about me and my products and, you know, the stuff that he knows about it and games and
jerking you off.
And that's cool, but there was just no proper opening for me to be like, so that said, the real reason I'm here was to see if you wanted to play yourself in our next video game. Like, it just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And now I've spent the last 2 years trying to get in touch with him and I cannot.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Do you have his model made already in the game?
Nah, we didn't get that far.
Make the model and let's start tweeting at him every fucking day.
I know. It just felt so fucking like appropriate. He knew the shit and he's the mall rat guy, and Gary was the one signing the autographs in the mall. And now we wanted Kevin to be the one signing the autographs in the mall. And that conversation didn't happen because I couldn't believe he knew my shit. And here we are talking about it and he's not in the game. So
would you rather have the ability of flight or invisibility?
I think I'd rather fly. I'm not the 12-year-old. I mean, I am the 12-year-old pervert I was once, but I get to see enough naked women in my adult life that I don't need to be invisible to see more.
You know, it really says a lot about people. They want to go the evil route immediately.
Well, there's only one thing to do when you're invisible, and that's be evil.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, what else am I going to do? Rob a bank? I mean, like,
you could.
But which is more evil, robbing a bank or just like fucking peeping Tomming everyone? The internet, everybody's naked on the internet now. It's no secret. I mean, I guess when you're doing it secretly, it's a little bit more disgusting, but
right.
I don't know. Flying sounds way better to me.
That's a get you off. All right.
Right. Well, I could probably jerk off while flying, which would be
sure
kind of next level.
Well, you'll definitely have to pee, so we might as well just let it rain. You know what I mean?
Until I get my Urolift procedure after the moratorium on elective surgeries is over, okay?
Understood.
Right.
What's the most ridiculous thing someone's tricked you into believing?
Oh, I actually know off the top of my head a fake news article that I believed in the last 6 months. There was an article that said Disneyland was shutting down the Haunted Mansion and turning it into a Coco ride, which it seems so insignificant, but I am one of those people that while I enjoy a good trip to Disneyland, really hate the fact that there's like hardly anything that any kid can even remotely relate to now. So like, right. I'm kind of one of those people that wishes there was more rides that people knew. And I was like, oh, cool. This is a good idea. And I firmly believed it for a while. And then I mentioned it to one of my friends who's like the biggest Disney nut. And he was like, fuck that. And then he looked it up and he's like, you're an idiot. And Snopes was like, nah, dog, that shit's fake as fuck. So turns out I got fucking taken by some fake news.
Hmm. What's your favorite Disney movie?
Ooh. I have so many. Is Miracle a Disney movie?
I think so.
Yeah, my dog's gonna bark. Then Miracle is the answer. I have a lot of Disney movies that I love, but Miracle is definitely one of my top movies. And I'm a hockey guy. I played hockey my whole life. I still play hockey.
So. It's a great film.
Solid movie. All right, let's wrap it up, Andy, because you know, we'll get
I'm gonna ask.
Sorry, Vince is here for dinner, and now my dog's going psycho. So
no worries.
I'm gonna ask one more, and then you can wrap it up. Okay, Steve.
Okay.
All right. Who would you rather hire as a babysitter, Jeffrey Dahmer or Casey Anthony?
Casey Anthony for sure.
Is because she won't fuck and or eat the baby?
Yeah, I mean, there's like a right and a wrong way to do these things. And, you know, I mean, I guess it's relative. Like,
sure,
it's all wrong, right? Gozer, shut up.
Gozer, good name.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's oof.
Hey, that's a good name for a dog. It's all wrong. There's not a good answer, but the better answer is Casey.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
All right, and now the final question, the most important.
Don't have
question.
A child, by the way. Don't have a child, by the way. So the answer
I have
comes
two.
From my. Yeah, so, I'm sorry.
Most important question: Andy or Steve?
Why not both?
What was that?
Why not both?
There it is.
I am
at the same time.
The company of more than one at the same time.
That's not very social distancing of you, but whatever.
Well, the last 6 weeks have been very not great for myself. But, Gozer, shut the fuck up.
Gozer, we love you, and we love your cameo on the show, but that is going to bring us to the end anyway, so that's okay. We did it. We got to the end. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Gozer is at...
At Mike Jarrett. There's plenty of pictures of him. And if you want to get Postal 4, look it up on Steam.
Hell yeah.
GoPostal.com.
Excellent. And if, again, if you want to follow us on Facebook, it's facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. Thank you to Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio for our theme song, Retro Chatter. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art. And thank you, Matt Murray, for our logos and banners and all that other fun stuff. Again, if you want to buy some merchandise, it's dualscreens.com/store. And our Patreon is patreon.com/NDS Podcast. That is going to do it for the show. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure having you. You are welcome.
Yeah,
anytime.
Thanks, you guys. Yeah. Yeah, please. I'll be back. I love doing this shit.
And good luck.
We have our own podcast. We just don't do it very often because, you know, I don't have a lot of people around all the time to shoot the shit with. So
we'll do it with you. Call us.
Yeah, why not?
We'll come on. We'll do your show.
Great.
We'll talk.
Great. I'll have you guys on for the next I Regret Nothing podcast.
Sweet. Awesome. Thank you very much, listeners. As always, please be excellent to each other.